Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
I hit the home run. I hit the Grand Slam home run. I hit for the cycle. And I'm proud to have been a Negro League ball player.
That is the great Buck O'Neill, player, manager, and scout, speaking in 2006. That is the year the first players from baseball's Negro Leagues were inducted into baseball's Hall of Fame. But it wasn't until Sunday that the late O'Neill and two other black stars were enshrined. So, why the long wait? Let's ask Andrea Williams. She's the author of Baseball's Leading Lady and a contributor to the New York Times. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Let's talk about some of these players and what they meant to baseball. Bud Fowler. He played against white players as early as 1878, before baseball became segregated. Tell us about him and his impact.
Sure. I think the important thing to remember about Bud Fowler is that his career predates even this gentleman's agreement that we've all heard of. This is why we didn't see black players playing on major league teams, why there were Negro League teams in the 20s, 30s, and 40s, and why Jackie Robinson is credited as, you know, the first black player to play Major League Baseball.
Yeah, in 1947.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is really just the modern era of organized baseball, if you will. But before that gentleman's agreement was in place, there were black players that were playing on white teams, and Bud Fowler was one of them. Bud Fowler was playing at a time, you know, you mentioned in the 1870s. I mean, we're talking about a couple decades before that, black people were literally property in this country. And Bud Fowler is good enough that they still want him on these white teams. And he is able to string together this career and do really, really well. So we hear from black players who are playing professional baseball now who look to Jackie and say that Jackie was their inspiration. And
you know,
Jackie, you know, had played shortly in the Negro League. So he was around, you know, the greats of that era. Bud Fowler is one of a handful of players, along with people like George Stovey, Moses Fleetwood Walker. They are the inspiration for those early Negro League players.
Now, a next inductee, I guess batting next, Buck O'Neill, player, manager, founder of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. The Hall of Fame created a special achievement award in his name. Let's play a little bit of sound from a Twitter message from Ken Burns. He produced, among his documentaries, a series on baseball.
When Buck was still alive, he should have been leading the class that got in, and he didn't, and died shortly thereafter, and now he's in. He's one of the greatest people I've ever met in this planet.
Andrea Williams, you knew Buck O'Neill. Give me a story.
Oh my gosh, I have so many stories. And really the thing that I remember most about him is that he was actually the greatest, right? Like, I think we're so conditioned to hearing people say that about Buck, but he really was, you know, without any hyperbole. He was just an incredible person to be around. And, you know, I was in my mid-20s when I was working at the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum, and part of my job was driving him around to speaking engagements. And he was a man who had seen the worst of the worst that this country has to offer, and always had a smile, was always great to talk to. I mean, would talk to me about anything. I was like, you know, I asked him, you know, Mr. O'Neill, how come you and your wife never had kids? And he was like, I don't know. We couldn't have kids, but we sure had a lot of fun trying. Like, such a bright spirit, and was so integral to the work that we were doing at the museum. For the vast majority of us, you know, Satchel Paige and Josh Gibson, these people are just characters in history books and people that we hear these great stories about, but we have no idea what it was like. Buck played with them.
Yeah.
He knew them. He had seen all of this. And I could not have imagined, you know, a better person to tell the story of the Negro Leagues, to help get the word out about the Negro Leagues, to ensure that these stories lived on and on forever. And yeah, I mean, you know, to hear Ken Burns, you know, talk about how devastating it was in 2006. I remember sitting there. I was sitting at my desk when we got the announcement. I remember being so excited because there were 17 players, managers, and executives that did got in, including Effa Manley, who was the first woman inducted into Cooperstown. But we didn't have Buck. And I understand, I can rationalize how the Hall of Fame works, how it considers candidates. I understand these little boxes that you have to fit in. You have to fit into one of these different categories.
Yeah, yeah.
But he wasn't just a player, wasn't just a manager, wasn't just a coach, even though he was the first Black coach in Major League Baseball history. He was all of these things that culminated in this incredible run that he had as the chairman of the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum.
Sorry to interrupt you, but I mean, I could do this all day, but let me ask you briefly about one more player who was inducted, Minnie Mignoso, a Cuban player, the first Latino baseball star. In 1947, he helped the New York Cubans beat the Cleveland Buckeyes in the Negro League World Series. As a player, what was his impact on the game?
Well, his impact was huge. He is, you know, really the first Afro-Latino star that we see in Major League Baseball. He's the first Black player for the Chicago White Sox. Even as we've kind of gone back and forth about whether, and I say we globally, I think, you know, people who really understood him in his career knew that he belonged in the Hall. But, you know, as there was this debate about whether he should be inducted in Chicago, they understand the impact of Minnie Mignoso. And it's also important to consider, too, that he was a man who, you know, was really living in these two different worlds, right? He's a Latino man who comes into this country and is trying to make a go of it. He's also a Black man when you look at him, when people look at him. So he's trying to navigate all of these things and still has to put together a really great career, which is what he was able to do. In a piece I wrote for The New York Times about the Hall of Fame's efforts to induct players and other representatives from the Negro Leagues era, talked to Dr. Adrian Burgos, and he talked about Minnie's impact and particularly the things that he had to endure and how we fail to really consider that when we're looking at stat lines of players, right? We want to do this apples to apples comparison. We want to look at the batting average of Minnie, and then we want to look at the batting average of his white contemporaries.
Yeah.
But we can't really do that, right? Because they are not enduring what Minnie had to.
Let me ask you to circle back to the larger context here. We all know about Jackie Robinson for breaking the color barrier in 1947. You mentioned Satchel Paige, Josh Gibson. But there are so many other players to enshrine. What has taken so long for Major League Baseball to recognize the contribution of these players?
I think, to be honest, a lot of it was that they didn't consider the Negro Leagues and the players, managers, and executives therein of, you know, on the same level as their white counterparts. That's the reality of the situation. That's why Major League Baseball has to make the announcement that they make at the end of 2020, which is that, okay, now, yes, we are considering the Negro Leagues on the same level as Major Leagues. You don't have to make that announcement if you already believe that, okay?
Finally, America, as we know, is going through a reckoning now on race and racism. Fewer than 10% of Major League Baseball players today are Black, and that number has fallen a lot since the 1970s. Where do you think professional baseball needs to go now?
I have two sons that play baseball. I think they need to do a better job of marketing and promoting the Black players that are there now, because that is what helps make it appealing. Kids want to be Steph. They want to be LeBron James because they see these players everywhere. I'm buying my son baseball cleats because he's already starting training for spring season. Mike Trout cleats are everywhere. I would love to buy him some Tim Anderson cleats, and I would love to buy him some Mookie Betts cleats. I think, of course, you absolutely have to have more Black people in the front offices. I mean, that is a given. We're still talking about a culture overall that is not a safe space for Black people. And the best way to remedy that is not to just force more Black people into the backward culture. It is to put more Black people on the business side of it so that they can help to shift the culture from within. So it's not a one thing. It has to be multiple things happening all at one time.
Andrea Williams is a contributor to the New York Times, and her new book is co-written with LeBron James. Thanks for taking the time.
Thank you.